Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and today we welcome Bob Tomisch to the microphone. Bob's a senior lecturer in the UW Department of Horticulture. He's in UW Extension. We're really happy to have him with us today, and certainly if you have a question for him, what's going on inside or outside in your garden, you're most welcome to join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or if you are in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Bob, welcome back.
Hey,
nice to
Larry,
have you with us.
It's great to be back here.
We were talking before the show, the deer, the rut is on, and the bucks are out there with their horns, and they're playing havoc with the apple trees and others.
Well, apple trees and your landscape trees, they'll come in and make a rub on the tree, and it's probably a tree you already spent $100 on, and it's probably 2 years in the ground, and it's probably about an inch and a half, and that's exactly what they prefer, and they'll come in and rub. A couple things, you should get on it right away and do something, and one is go down and normally we don't recommend pruning compound, but in this case, there's spray on pruning compounds for trees. Mm-hmm. You can find it at a garden center or whatever, but go in there and spray that area that's been damaged, and what that'll do is help keep the moisture in. Otherwise, what I've seen happen is that it continues to dry out, not only the area mm-hmm. where the damage is, but even in farther. And sometimes you'll lose your tree. And I've tried it on several situations where I've come in with the pruning compound sprayed right as soon as I observe the damage. And I would say I've had better than 75% success.
Okay. Well, sometimes they go all the way around the tree, and it just looks like shredded bark, essentially.
In a case like that, you start saving your pennies. It's a spring project, a replanting project.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Every line is full, so let's go to the phones. Hi, Joan in Milwaukee. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I finally am getting through to you about my arborvitae trees. About 3 years ago, I planted them all the way around the stockade fence to the north, and there was a jut-out fence in a corner, northeast corner, and I had some little ones left, so I planted them there. Well, then I was given some wonderful berry bushes, and I did not think. I planted them next to this little arborvitae. Now, the berry bushes I did not cut back last year. I just picked the last berry before the frost about a week ago. But these berry bushes have gone up this 12-foot fence and over, and they're just enclosing the arborvitae. What do I cut back? Do I cut back the berry bushes and dig them out and transplant them? Or do I dig out about five foot high arborvitae?
Mm. Any way you look at it, it's working. You're talking about raspberries, right?
Yes, okay. Raspberries, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Everbearing.
Right. And they tend to sucker profusely. You start mm-hmm. with a row, and you now have a patch, and that's probably where you're at. I would think in this, you've got a couple of choices. I would suggest probably moving the arborvitae, even though they're 4 or 5 feet tall. You look at the trunk. For every inch of trunk diameter, you want it to have about a 1 foot soil ball. And so next spring, you could dig those four or so that are in there and move them out someplace where they're going to have care. The other option you have is to go in there, take your lawnmower, mow off the raspberries as close to the ground as you possibly can, and then take some landscape fabric, maybe a 4x4 section, or maybe even a little bit larger, put that down on the soil, and then cover it with mulch, kind of hold it in place, and those raspberry canes will not be able to penetrate up. And so what you then have provided is a little space around each of the arborvitae. So you've got a couple of choices. But even with your raspberries, take them over in there, narrow them down to a row, rototill or anything like that. We want to have a row that's about 18 inches wide and long, and then probably another row anywhere from 6 to 10 feet.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Thanks, Joan, for calling. Appreciate it. And David in Green Bay is next. Hi, David. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks. I got a question. I have an established patch of asparagus. I'm wondering, I've never known what to do with them over the winter. Am I supposed to be cutting those right down to the ground or leaving them with all of the growth on top? How's the best way to handle them?
Well, first, don't do anything until the soil starts to freeze up. Because even though they're turning yellow right now, they're probably still carrying on a little photosynthesis, and they'll be still storing a few nutrients down in that storage root and root system. You have two choices. Either mow them off as soon as their soil freezes or wait until spring. But as soon as the snow melts, I'd get in there and try to move those tops out. Some people like to leave the landscape feature, that nice yellow frond, as part of the winter landscape exposed. And so you've got two options.
No mulching, though?
Mulching is always a good choice. They like organic content. You can put in about a 2-inch layer of mulch. Some people use bark chips to a depth of 3 or 4 inches. In any case, you need to place them on a fertilizer program. We're looking at about 2 pounds of 5-10-10 or something like that if you haven't taken a soil test for every 100 linear feet of row.
Well, thanks for your help.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Carol in Bailey's Harbor, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about mandevilla plants. I dug some up out of pots of containers and discovered that the root system looks like dahlia tubers. Can these be treated the same way and kept over winter, or is it not a good idea?
Well, we're working our way up the coast of the Lake Michigan here. One of the things is I'm not ultra familiar with the overwintering that plant. I know people have brought them indoors, cut them back, and then maintained them in a pot over winter. As for storing them like we would dahlia bulbs or something like that, I'm not familiar. I'd have to do a little research on that, do an internet search on Google. That plant is very pretty. It shows very nice. The challenge is I don't think it's that winter hardy. So it's a plant you can look at. I would try to bring the plant in, play around, and see what works best for you. But I think they have to almost keep growing most of the winter months, and they'll kind of go into a dormant stage. One thing, when you bring plants in from the outside, you usually bring little buddies along, like spider mites and a few other things. And you notice. And the other thing that happens when you bring them from the outdoors to the indoors, our indoor climate is dry, warm, and you'll lose a good share of the leaves. So many people will cut them back, and then as new buds emerge from the axils of the leaves, you'll have green tissue, and that green tissue will adapt to the environment of your house. So you've got a couple of options.
Yeah, I pretty much, as I did a quick look here, I've pretty much your advice about keeping them in the pots. And if you can keep them where the temperatures are a little bit lower, 45, 50 degrees,
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Good. I can do that.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-642-1234, the number for you to call if you'd like to join in, or if you're in the Madison area, 263-1890. Have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty fast. Carrie in Madison, your turn. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, it's Carrie. That's okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And you know how dry it's been in Madison. I've tried to keep my perennials watered, but they're still... I'm afraid the bulbs and stuff are drying up, and it hasn't really frozen yet. How long should I be watering them?
What bulbs? What plants are you talking about?
Irises.
Oh, okay.
Daylilies, like that.
Yep. Okay. Just keep water them about once a week. For each of those plants, we're looking at somewhere around 5 gallons per week on a perennial like that until the soil freezes. A little mulch is going to go a long ways, and I would say hold off on the mulching till about Thanksgiving, somewhere in there when we start, in the morning the ground is froze and then it thaws.
Right, that's what I thought.
Then put the little mulch over there. That helps winter those plants. You can always rake the bark chips or whatever mulch material. Leaves are always fairly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm letting the leaves stay on them, and there's a lot of leaves. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad you called because I've kind of forgotten about my daylilies, and I've got some beauties, and we haven't watered those in a while. So.
Hey, you've got a great day tomorrow before the football game. You get all that.
I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. Thanks, Carrie, for the reminder.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Norm in New Auburn, your turn. Hi, Norm.
Morning.
Morning.
I planted a mountain ash this summer, and I noticed the leaves are still green, and they're covered with snow, and everything else has lost its leaves. Is that characteristic?
It's characteristic of younger plants. If you look at some of the maples that start growing, usually their lower branches will hold the leaves for a longer period of time.
Oh.
It's preparing itself for winter. Once you have a good, healthy frost, it'll lose its leaves or it'll dry back. But It's just the juvenile phase that we're dealing with on some young plants.
I see. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Margaret in Milton next. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Sure. I've got a question. I have some great lilac bushes on my, and they're old, and I've cut about a third back, but I'd like to start new ones. What do I do? Where do I start?
Okay, you're going to start with the using the same plants you have.
Yes.
Okay, because there's a very good bulletin that we just put together on lilacs, and it's very colorful. There's about 80 different varieties in there, and that's available through the Learning Store. Okay, for multiplying out what you have, next spring, as soon as the soil thaws, you go in there next to the plant, and you can dig out a segment of root, or even you'll notice there's sometimes little suckers from last season. Dig those out, but wait till spring, and when you dig those out, they'll probably be the diameter of a pencil. What you want to do is have at least 4 inches of root on either side of that stem. Move it in, start watering it, and you're off and running with a new plant.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's see who's next. Linda in Argyle. It's your turn. Hi, Linda.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for being there. I just happened to think that we have a mystery in our garden. A year ago, last spring, we planted 3 Nanking cherry bushes.
Yep.
Okay.
Shrubs, bushes.
Yep.
And one of them has died, and that's fine. It's too bad. But two of them have survived, and they're growing very, very nicely. But we don't really know what to expect of them. We've never had them before. And in this past spring, they bloomed profusely, but we never saw any fruit.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what to expect.
Okay. Well, one thing, Nanking cherries are very hardy to about zone 2. You'll find them up in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And they do ripen fairly fast, so they would do very well up in your area, even if you happen to be in one of those unforsaken spots where you only have about 2 months of growing season. The challenge the problem with Nanking cherries, they blossom very early in the spring, and then if you have a slight temperature or any frosting at night, it kills the flower buds, or at least the reproductive part of the flower.
Uh-huh.
And Nanking cherries, commonly, just because they blossom so early, that's a problem.
Okay. Well,
a couple suggestions that you might want to do is, if you do get a couple of new ones, is to plant them on the east side, or look in your yard, in the place where the snow melts last. Plant them in that location because that's going to give you a little extra chilling, and they'll blossom probably a week later. Or place them in a partial shade, like on the east side of some conifers.
Okay.
So try that. But if you have them in full sun, I've experienced the same problem in other situations.
Yeah. Okay.
Alrighty, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda. Appreciate your call. Bob Tomisch, Senior Lecturer of the UW-Madison and UW-Extension Department of Horticulture, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer, answering phones right now, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Bob Tomisch. Glad to have you listening in. Mike in Oshkosh has a question for us, so we go to Mike right now. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Larry, Bob, I've got a couple of things. Number one, did I hear someone just a little while ago wondering about overwintering? Was it bougainvillea?
Yes.
Okay, I've had experience with this, and I've managed to overwinter 3 plants for a number of years in the basement under fluorescent lights. You just need to keep them watered and not too much fertilizer, and they do quite well.
Right. I've got 2 in the basement that I handicap to take care of them that way, too. You got to remember to water them. It's always the big issue.
Exactly.
Yep.
And the other thing is I love black raspberries, and I got some suckers from a friend, maybe 3 years ago. And they're doing just great, but they don't have any flowers or fruit ever.
Ooh, okay. Do you have them in full sun?
No.
Okay, that's probably your biggest problem. Yeah, they need to be in a full sun situation in order to initiate those flower buds. Otherwise, they're going to remain vegetative. So you might want to try relocating them and they'll be kinder to you.
I'll just let them spread into the sun.
Okay, that's the easy way to do it.
Yes, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thank you for calling. Spence in Campbellsport, hi to you.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One is it still okay to plant tulips? I mean, how late can we plant those?
Bulbs.
Yep.
Bulbs, yes.
And what's your other question?
The other one is, oh, my God. kind of escaped me already.
Okay, why don't you think about it, and I'll work on the bulbs.
Usually, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's the geraniums. We brought some geraniums into the house, and we put them into the basement. It's an unheated basement. And we took them out of the ground, so they're just laying in a cardboard box. And we're wondering, what is the proper way to keep them over winter?
Well, there is a bulletin on overwintering geraniums if you do a little searching. And you hear all kinds of suggestions on the geraniums. I'll get to your bulbs in a minute. Right. One is you plant those in a pot, cut them way back, and they'll start sending out new growth. And people usually let them regrow until about January, and they'll snip the tips in order to force in some new branching. It takes about 16 weeks from the time a new bud starts until it flowers, and so then you'll be looking at your flowering in June. So that's one of the things. I've heard of people letting them dry out in paper bags and all that. I haven't tried that one, so that one you'd be on your own. As for the bulbs, usually we recommend about planting any bulbs, tulips, daffodils, whatever, about 6 weeks before soil frees up. That's to give them a chance to root a little bit. But that doesn't mean you necessarily – you could plant them any time until the soil freezes up for the most part. Make sure you get them down deep enough, and then throw some mulch over them. And that mulch is going to keep that soil from a little bit warmer. Many of the bulbs start growing at about 33, 34 degrees, and so it will start initiating some root growth. But it's farther ahead to plant them now and let them sit in the refrigerator.
What's the depth on planting on those?
Usually the bulbs, if we have a bulb that's an inch diameter, planting it about two times deeper than that, so about 2 to 3 inches. So use that 2 to 3 rule.
Okay.
And what kind of a plant food do you put with them? You plant them with plant food or something?
Oh, don't even worry about that.
Really?
Go into a fertilizer program next spring. We're looking at, for each clump or hill that you might have, we're looking at about a teaspoon or something like a 5-10-10. You can go down to a garden center. They'll have some bulb-type fertilizers there with recommendations. Just follow those recommendations.
Okay.
But give them a little boost in the spring when they first start. Give them a little boost as soon as the petals fall off of those clumps. And what that's going to do is rejuvenate them for the following year.
Sounds great. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And we have some open lines again, so you can get on at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty fast. Jim in La Crosse, you're next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thank you guys for your program.
Sure.
We recently bought a house and moved, and I wanted to bring some of our plants with, and strawberries, raspberries, asparagus. Is it too late to transplant them?
Well, asparagus, first off, I wouldn't even try moving those because they have a huge root system down there. Start out with there's a good bulletin on growing asparagus. Get some good organic matter in there, and in about 3 years you're going to be back in production. As for the strawberries and raspberries, you can move them now. I would throw some mulch over them, but it'd be better to move those in the spring. I don't know what's going on. The other thing is, when it comes to moving strawberries and raspberries, sometimes you're farther ahead to start out with some new plant material that's disease-free. There are several viruses that come in by some of the insects that are feeders. Even though you might not realize it, they are declining each year. And you'll start seeing things like crumbleberry and maybe misshapen leaves and stuff like that. So we usually recommend, if you're moving to a new site, start clean.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And Cheryl in Oregon, you're next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Hey, I have a question about raspberry canes. I'm sure that this is a pretty redundant subject, but, I just have some black caps, or I don't know if they're black caps or blackberries. Actually, I think they're blackberries. But they got cut down this fall. Time to close the yard, and the canes got cut right down to the ground, and I don't think that's what was supposed to happen.
Well,
I'm wondering what's the proper way to close out a raspberry patch?
Well,
first of all,
the type of, whether you have raspberries or blackberries, they are a biennial plant. The first year the cane comes up, and then the second year it branches and flowers. So now that you cut them off, next year is going to be your first year's growth, and you're going to have to wait until 2009 for your crop.
Good Lord.
Right. Well, you're not the first one to do that, Cheryl.
Well, I didn't do it.
Yep. The only time we prune off raspberries are some of what we call them the primal cane bearers or fall-bearing types, like Autumn Bliss, Autumn Britain, the old Heritage, for example. Those we usually suggest pruning to the ground about the time the soil freezes. And those, the following year, when they start their new growth, you give them a good boost of fertilizer and keep them fairly clean, and you'll find out that they'll start producing fruit sometime in August for you.
Oh, so they're late-bearing.
Yes. Well, it depends on what type you have.
Okay. So the ones that I have, I think, were, so those were biennial.
Yes.
And you're supposed to, so what is about, how do you know which is a biennial cane and which isn't? Are you supposed to cut back the
Okay, the primal cane, the first-year cane, is just a single stem that grows up, no branching on it.
Got it.
Unless somebody came and pinched the tip off like a deer or something like that.
Okay.
Whereas the second year, they will that single cane in the buds will branch out, and on the tips of those branches will be the fruit or flowers and then fruit. And then the cane, then that cane dies, and so that's why you need to prune regularly.
I see. Wow. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks
bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Kevin in Appleton, on to you. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, guys. I got a question on a lilac bush. I have a fairly large one on the back of the house, and I'm wondering how to properly take care of it. It didn't seem to blossom this year as good as it normally would.
Well, the reason they stop blossoming is sometimes they slowly work their way into shade. And by that, I mean some of the landscape trees that you've planted in your yard are beginning to shade the plant. As they become more shaded, it initiates fewer flower buds. The other thing could be the age of the lilac. If it's real large, then we suggest going through what's called a rejuvenation phase, where you take out about one-third of the canes each year over a period of about 3 years. There's a very good bulletin at the Learning Store, or you can get it through your county extension office, on maintaining deciduous shrubs, and it'll explain the pruning procedure that I just described.
So, and the Learning Store, it's UW Extension, so University of Wisconsin Extension Learning Store, or I think the website is learningstore.uwex.edu.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Patricia in Superior, on to you. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Pleasure to talk to you. I have two quick questions. One is, I planted this summer a new grapevine. I believe it's a Concord.
Okay.
And what I want to know is, how do I keep it from dying over the winter? Should I cut it back? It's about 2 feet high.
Well, don't do anything yet. First of all, Concord in your area probably isn't going to ripen completely, and there are some varieties like Valiant, Beta, Swelter, that are going to do a lot better. They have a shorter maturation period, and they'll ripen up earlier. But go ahead with the Concord now that you have it in the ground. If it only grew 2 feet this year, what I would suggest, one, keep the weeds away. Treat that plant like a tomato plant. Keep it weeded about 2 feet out from the plant, because they do not compete very well with grass roots.
Okay.
And that'll give you more growth. Next spring, put a post by it or get your trellis in place, because they need to be growing upright. Cut it back so you only have about 2 buds, and what that'll stimulate is a better root system and an overall plant. So don't do anything until spring.
Well, I have it on the warm side of the house, next to the house, and I was hoping that it might make it.
It will up there. It's just that sometimes the berries will still be green when the first frost comes through.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Okay. The other question is, I have moved some old, probably 100-year-old rosebush suckers into my flower bed, and I did it about 3 or 4 years ago from my grandmother's farm and one from my aunt's farm and so on, and they don't blossom. They get all kinds of suckers, but you know, that's that old-fashioned rose with a little...
Yep. A couple of things. Are you cutting them back each year?
Yes, I cut them down almost to the ground.
Are they in full sun?
Yes.
Okay, they should be able to do it. I would suggest cut back a little bit. You might be treating them too kindly with fertilizer. Too much nitrogen will keep them in a vegetative phase and lack of flowering.
Well, actually, what I put on them is horse manure.
Well, that's even though horse manure isn't quite as potent as some other cattle types, but I would say don't do that. Don't use any fresh horse manure because that has more nitrogen in it.
No, this is rotted.
Okay, even rotted. Why don't you just try holding back a little bit on the fertilizer application there and see what happens for a year.
Should I cut those suckers out? The ones that come up, next to
some of those are hardy enough, and they'll branch out and bloom.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about that part.
Mm-hmm.
But usually reasons why some roses don't bloom, and there are other reasons, but one is lack of sun. The second is people are just too kind and give them too much nitrogen fertilizer.
Okay. Well, they have wonderful foliage.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of nitrogen to me. Maybe too much.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Patricia. Dolly in Marshfield, we'll go to you now. Hi, Dolly.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about butterfly bushes. My daughter planted two butterfly bushes this spring, and they did just beautifully. But she doesn't know how to winterize them, so what should she do?
Yeah. The problem with butterfly bushes, they're almost a Zone 5 plant. And once you get north of the Madison area, your challenges become greater. A couple of things that you could do is leave them in place, but place a lot of mulch around them. Some people will take like a 5-gallon bucket, cut the bottom out of it, set it there, fill it with leaves so you don't have those quick temperature fluctuations, and try to salvage those plants that way. Mulch the soil about 3 feet around, about 4 inches of mulch, and that'll, again, keep that soil temperature at about 27 degrees or so. And those little things, that'll tend to help. If you really want to try something, you can dig the plant out, dig a trench, lay it in the trench about 6 inches to a foot down, and cover it up, and next spring dig it back out and plant it again.
It's a lot of work.
Okay. So actually she'd be better off buying new every year.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dolly. Thanks for calling. Although in Madison we can get them to grow and stay. Martha in Madison, your turn. Hi, Martha.
Hi. I have a question about a clematis.
Okay.
I don't know what kind it is, but it blooms in the late summer, early fall, big purple flower, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with it.
Just leave it sit there till spring. Usually what happens in most parts of Wisconsin, they'll tend to die back from the tip, but then they'll kind of regrow depending on the severity of the winter. One thing you could do is be kind to it, place about 3-4 inches of mulch to about 2 feet out from the plant, and that'll keep that temperature fluctuations from hurting them. If it's a nice-sized plant, it's pretty well established, and it's going to do fairly well. Some people will prune them back a little bit to size them up and then let the new growth take over.
Okay, so it's growing pretty much all over the wrought iron that I have on our back porch. So I should just leave it on the wrought iron? Or
sure.
Just leave it on there. Oh,
yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Mary in Belleville, hi to you.
For taking the call.
Sure.
Two quick questions, I hope. One is, I planted garlic in October, and nice and deep and everything, but you know, all of it came up. Now I've got these tender young green sprouts. Should I cover them or let them die back and hope that the bulb has enough energy to come back?
Well, the bulb will have enough energy, and that's why you plant them in October, because you want them to emerge. They're actually a type of... almost like a biennial type of growth. Mulching them would help. Take some straw mulch or hay mulch and put about 4 inches over that. But don't do that until the soil begins to freeze. Next spring, just kind of pull it back and you're off and running.
Okay. Second question. You were talking about raspberries. I had a patch that was quite a few years old, seven years old, and the berries were getting smaller and crumblier. So I cut it all off, and I plan to destroy it in the spring as it tries to regrow. But my question is, is the virus in the plant itself in the root system, or is it in the soil? In other words, how long could I wait before I use that area again?
Yeah, usually, well, one, the virus is in the plant tissue, not in the soil, but it could be in the roots.
Yeah.
You could till that area up. Usually they like to have one fallow year. In other words, tilling it all season, the second season, to make sure you kill out any existing plant material. That's why many people start move a patch planting to another area and get it started and then come back and eventually back to the other zone.
I have three planting areas, each one separated by about 4 feet. Is that adequate or not?
Sure.
For passing a virus? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, the virus won't. The virus passes by insects feeding on one. So if you take out the ones that were crumble, and crumbly berry is usually an indication of virus infection.
Yeah.
If you cut the plants back, keep that area tilled up. There's no there's nothing for them to feed on to move it over to the other site. That doesn't mean that some insects that are going to come from a little wild patch close to you are not going to bring that in. That's always the chance you take.
Yeah.
And the second patch I planted, I had two of the summer variety, and the second patch this year didn't look as good. It was a new planting last year, and it didn't look so good this year. But it's interesting that the fall raspberries are not affected, and perhaps that's because we mow them off in the fall and they don't have much growth until later.
I didn't say they weren't affected. They're not affected by some of the other diseases, but they could be affected by the virus problems.
All right. Mary, thank you very much for calling. You're breaking up there a little bit at the end. I hope you were able to hear everything Bob said. Thank you. Trudy in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Trudy.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I planted delphiniums this summer, and I've never had them before, and I'm not quite sure what I should do with them over the winter.
Well, delphiniums are one of those plants that can be a challenge. They're kind of short-lived, in the meaning that 3 to 5 years unless you really take care of them. A few things on delphiniums: they can't tolerate wet soil, so if you're in a low area or something like that, you want to raise a mound about 6 inches and plant them on top of that to just allow those roots to dry out, and they're going to survive a lot better. About the only thing with delphiniums, wait till it freezes up and then cover those with some mulch. They are a little on
the... Do I trim them back?
I would do that soon, as the soil begins to freeze. You can cut them back because they're going to send up all the new growth from below the soil line.
Okay. Well, they're about 5 or 6 feet tall.
Yep.
So cut them back or not cut them back?
Cut them back to the soil line.
Okay.
When the ground freezes, throw some mulch over the soil. That'll keep the temperature fluctuations from occurring. And you're off and running next spring because it'll send up new shoots from down below the soil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Judy. And Roman in Wausau, your turn now. Hi, Roman.
Hi, good morning. I've got a couple of apple trees I'm hobbying in our backyard and getting some awfully nice fireside delicious apples. I've used the organic approach to catching these moth-like critters that lay the eggs, I guess, that make the worms that get inside the apples, and I've done a pretty fair job with them. But now in the fall, I find this ladybug attack, and I didn't realize it because they were chewing on the tops of these apples, and I thought I was going to have a fairly decent crop, and then I find every decent apple had maybe 3 dozen ladybugs chewing up about 20% of these apples. Is there an organic approach to scaring them out of my tree?
Yeah, that's a real challenge, and you're not alone in that. Usually the ladybugs or the Asian lady beetle starts coming and feeding on other things about when we have the first good healthy frost. That frost kills a lot of the aphids that it normally feeds on, and it has no longer a food source, and so it's going to start feeding on anything that's available. And your apples, which are just ripening up now as the fall moves in, they'll come and feed on those. Then there's really nothing that you can really spray on there. What happens is you spray, and then you can't harvest the apples for a period of time, and that's not a good situation. Usually, we recommend monitoring your apples, and as soon as they ripen up, pick regularly, because if there's any little damage, that's where they're going to start feeding. They go around and taste everything. Like people say, oh, that he bit me. Well, those, they're not biting. They're just tasting. See if you're good. That's that. Their little pinches are doing that. But yeah, they'll start feeding on something and then they just come right in. You might try hanging some pyrethrum. You can buy pyrethrum type sprays, but don't spray it on your apples. Just kind of take and soak a sock or something like that. Take a milk jug, poke holes in it, and what happens is they smell that odor of the pyrethrum, and they don't come. They don't like those areas. That's like they have materials you can spray on buildings to keep the box elder beetles and the lady Asian beetles, and that usually has a pyrethrum product in there, and it. What it does is they smell that odor for about a week or so and they don't come in. So you might want to try that. But you're fighting a problem that everybody's, including the grape growers, are challenged with right now.
Yeah. Good luck, Roman. Thank you very much. Art in Sussex, it's your turn now. Hi, Art.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoying your show. Quick question. I'm wondering if it's too late to plant either maple trees or or pine trees, conifers of some type, and that location is about 30 miles south of La Crosse.
Okay. If you can find a nursery or a garden center that still has containerized stock, you can buy that, water it real good, then plant it in the ground, water it on a regular basis. So you can plant containerized plant materials. As for moving them from one source to another, wait until spring, because you can dig those bare root early in the spring, or you can dig those with a soil ball and move them at that time. But if they're already in containers at a nursery, you could still do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Bob Tomisch, Senior Lecturer at UW-Madison and UW Extension, Department of Horticulture. Our guest, I'm Larry Mealer, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk. Larry Mealer here with my guest, Bob Tomisch from UW Extension. Glad to have you listening in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. As we talk gardening, Terry and Abrams is next. Let's go to Terry. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
What I have is I've got a situation where I have a little bit over 100 or so native balsam firs that I pulled off my property in the north roughly about two and a half years ago. They're in pots right now. I'm glad I didn't plant them in the spring because we had such a drought situation up here this year. I would have never had time to keep them watered. I'd like Bob's opinion on, do you think it's getting a little too late to put them in the ground now? I have a chance where if I don't put them in the ground now, I've got a cold frame, white poly greenhouse I could put them in through the winter.
Well, they're gonna want normal conditions of winter. And if you have a chance to plant them, I would still recommend planting those if you know where they're going to go, because they're going to survive a lot better in the ground as opposed to sitting in a pot. In a pot, the cold comes from the side, everything else, and so that soil temperature in the pot drops severely, and you can lose some plants that way. So if you can plant, otherwise put the plants close together and then try to mulch around them. It's protecting the roots is the biggest thing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Carrie in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. I apologize. I'm just getting over a bout of laryngitis, so excuse me. No. But I'm wondering, I have a burning bush in the front of my home, and I actually two of them in the entryway. We just moved in last year, and I've noticed both last year and this year, they just stay green all year. They don't get much color, and I think they're one of the most beautiful things in the fall. And I didn't know if maybe there was something with my soil content or the proximity to the house that is causing it not to burn in the fall.
Yeah, no, burning bush is not burning.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it under the eave of your house where it's not receiving adequate water?
I guess it would be partially under the eave. Perhaps that's the case with the water.
It's water stress will kind of, might be causing part of the problem. The other problem is they do need some sunlight to turn that red color.
Okay.
And if they're in a very shaded situation, they will remain green longer.
Okay. So you think maybe just give it some more water? I think it gets a fair amount of sun, but we do have a fairly wooded lot, so I'd have to pay closer attention to how much sun it gets all year long.
Yeah, you'd like to have at least 6 hours of sunlight during any one day.
Okay.
That'll kind of give you something to work with. The watering is important, so it builds up appropriate the sugars that caused the red color. So those are a couple of things. It's usually lack of sun or lack of water that causes that.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll give that a try then.
Thanks a lot for calling, Carrie. Appreciate your call. It's good advice for everybody, by the way, is to keep watering those trees and shrubs right up to freeze up. And then when you carry your hose in...
and it doesn't break on the way in.
like mine last year, it took up the... couldn't use the garage for overnight because we had to thaw out the hose. Oh, man. Marge in Clark County, your turn. Hi, Marge.
Hi. My question is, in planting the bulbs this time of year, is it practical or possible to work the pre-emergence weed killer into the dirt right now and then have it be effective in the spring?
Well, first of all, I'd read the label on preen. I'm not sure that it's suggested for bulbs because preen works with grasses, and the bulbs are in the grass family. You might want to try something like Dacthal. The other thing is the way preen works is it prevents root development. And by working it in the soil when you're planting the bulbs, it's going to prevent the root development of the bulbs, and you're running into some other problems. So I would look on the preen label and see if it's even labeled for that.
That's why I called.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marge. And Ed in Milwaukee, what's on your mind?
I have a question regarding some vines I bought quite a few years ago. I planted them, and they worked out fine. My problem is I moved since then, and I'd like to get another vine for my present abode. And I couldn't think of the name of the vine, but I know that it for want of a better description, it's shaped similar to that of a cannabis, only it's a much lighter green. And the names that I have been running through my mind are hickory, hawthorn, or hemlock. I know that it begins with an H when I bought the thing. And it's prolific. It grew like blazes.
Well, I'm at a loss on that one. Somebody that works with vines. What I'd suggest doing is take a section of the vine down to a garden center, and they can look at it, and they can probably tell you right off, especially if they carry that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Or even if you've got a real good photo that you took standing by the vine or something.
Yeah, there's wisteria is about the only one that has that type of leaf tissue that I can think of.
Yeah, wisteria. Could be wisteria. You could look that up online, take a look at the picture of a wisteria plant online, Ed, and see if that's close. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Ruth in Milwaukee, hi to you.
Hi. I have some arborvitae that I had planted early in the summer, and they are, apparently I didn't get enough water on them, but they're about half to maybe two-thirds brown. And I'm wondering, should I pull them out, and are they doomed, or should I keep watering, and will they come back?
I'm guessing that you probably have lost your plant material, because arborvitae has the type of root system that likes a nice, moist environment. Not waterlogged, but they like to be watered regularly. They like mulch regularly, where the root system keeps relatively cool. And for some reason, it could have been a combination of the heat, soil heat, as well as the water lack of water that caused that type of problem. You could try babying them through the winter, water them now until freeze up, and then see what happens next spring. The unfortunate part, what area is brown is probably dead, those branches, and it's not going to green up. So you'd only have growth up at the top. So I think you lost your plants.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks for calling. Sad tale there. Let's go to Ken in Madison. Hi, Ken.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Morning.
Thanks a lot for the show. It's awesome.
Thank you.
My question, and I will take it after I hang up, is I would like to do a winter grow of maybe 3 or 4 tomato plants, and I need a recommendation on something that's not going to suck a lot of wattage up for a multi-ballast for a high-pressure sodium and metal halide bulb. If you could just recommend, you know, what possibly would be the best bulb size for that, and I'll hang up. Thank you so much for your answer.
Well, I would do a little searching because there are some tomato varieties, one that do perform a little bit better during the winter months. The old patio tomato is probably one that you could find, and I know people will tend to grow them. The problem with tomatoes is right now the tomatoes we're getting are actually flowers that set probably 3-4 weeks ago. Our light intensity gets less and less, and so they aren't initiated to flower. And so they kind of stop flowering through December, January, and then they'll start flowering again. That's why a lot of the greenhouse growers that grow tomatoes under plastic will start new plants about the mid-January, and they'll get by with regular light on the plant as long as they have adequate heat. And so you're not sucking up all that energy. But they'll need a place where there's full sun coming through a window. A lack of air movement from your heat ducts is going to help them out. But do a little searching. There are some varieties that are grown indoors. There's a Mountain Dew or Mountain Crisp or something like that I heard the other day that somebody was trying. But you can grow them without light. The only thing is don't expect fruit production during usually December and January.
Okay, good luck. Thank you very much. Mike in Chicago, Illinois. Hello.
Hello. I've been planting, I've planted Shasta daisies the last couple of years, and each time they didn't come back up in the spring, and I'm wondering what I really need to do to keep them alive during the winter.
Well, it isn't that they're not keeping alive during the winter. It's Shasta daisies are one of those, we call them a perennial, but they're a perennial for maybe 2 or 3 years when we get them to survive. If you have a real heavy soil situation where you're at, what you might want to do is try a raised bed or a small mound and plant those Shasta daisies on top of that mound. And that'll, when it's really extremely wet, like in the spring or after spring thaw of snow, you're not going to have that water buildup in that area, and so there's a better chance of survival.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And on to Greg in Withy. Hi, Greg.
Good morning. This last year, just as an experiment, I planted some Arctic kiwis and in a raised bed. They grew beautifully. We pinched them back the way you're supposed to, and we had an early killing frost come through. Thought it was done. And then they leafed out again when it turned warm. Is there a problem? Is there a prognosis, something I can do to help them get through the winter?
Well, you can get them through the winter, those the Arctic kiwi. You have a couple of things going on. They should regrow next spring from the root system. They'll send up new shoots and that, and they tend to be fairly prolific. I've heard people say that they have some beautiful fall leaf color if they're in the right position. The problem with the Arctic kiwi, don't expect much for fruit. They're about the size of an overgrown grape. Uh-huh. And they're fairly tart. They come in male and female, so some people end up with a male plant and they wonder why they're not getting fruit.
Well, but, I got both male and female, right. And I knew they were going to have small fruit, if any.
Yeah. So. I would just mulch the soil after the soil the ground freezes. And you're kind of in the part of Wisconsin where it gets a little more of a challenge due to the cold temperatures for growing those.
Okay, so just mulch them in good and make sure they're moist when they go to bed. Huh?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Greg. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty fast. Scott in Watertown, you are next. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for my call.
Sure.
Say, I am fighting a never-ending battle with prickly ash. It is invading a CRP field, and we have it so thick in some areas that we can't even walk through the woods. And we've, up to this point, used mechanical means to cut it back. And it seems to just encourage it that much more the next year. What is a good herbicide I can put on it to try to eradicate it and keep it from spreading?
There's a product called Crossbow or Brush Killer that you can usually get through most supply stores that carry chemicals. The way that's applied is once you make your cut, is you spray it on the fresh cut. And this is normally done in the fall. So you'd have to work through if you come through with a flail mower or something like in your field and then just come right behind it and put a spray of a product like that. There are some other brush killers, but if you really want to get serious, I think Crossbow. I think there's there might be a bulletin that is available through the DNR where it's controlling woody plant materials. And especially now as we're starting to look at some of the invasives like buckthorn and some of the others, they will list probably one or two other types of herbicide products.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And on to Bonnie in Milwaukee. Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning. My question is about soil, and I hope you can help me.
Okay.
I had a garage built in the last month, and they really compacted that soil around the garage construction site until it's like hard pan out there.
Yeah.
It's like bricks. So I probably wrongly watered some of it to see what I could do, and I turned it into anaerobic muck.
Mm.
And now it's, I mean, I could throw pots with it.
Yeah, that compaction is a real issue. And Wayne Cousseau, who was a turf specialist here for many years, had taken some samples when he started of compaction around houses.
Oh, yes.
When he retired a year ago, he went back and took, and you know what? That soil is still compacted.
Wow.
We have such big equipment that comes in with large wheels, heavy. If you can get somebody in there to check around that would come in there with a trencher or a chisel plow and just make a path around that garage area, check for wires and everything else because you don't want to hook those.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to work that soil up down to a depth of at least a foot to 18 inches and then come back in, you know, with a tiller or something like that and do your planting. It's going to do much better. There should be some type of regulation in the state that after they're done building a house, they should come through with a chisel plow around the new houses just to loosen that soil up. That's a problem that people plant into that 3-4 years down the road when they've planted trees and shrubs. They're dying, and part of it is the water capillation from the bottom isn't coming up. If it rains a lot, you've got pooling and things like that. So you need to loosen and aerate that soil. A good observation on your part. I would suggest if you can check around, maybe some of the nurseries might be able to help you out with a product like that.
And thanks a lot for calling. Bob Tomisch, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking gardening today, indoors and out a bit, with Bob Tomisch, Senior Lecturer, UW Extension Horticulturist. I'm Larry Mueller. Happy to have you listening in. And we have many, many callers online. Bob, did you remember the name of that tomato variety?
I think it was Mountain Mist. I'd have to check. But
no, that's the variety that will grow indoors.
Well, it's one that's designed for growing indoors or under plastic.
Or under plastic, okay.
You could do some searching. A lot of those types of varieties are developed in Europe because they grow more like in Belgium and some of those cooler areas. They grow a lot of tomatoes under plastic, and so they've done a lot more breeding than we have probably here in the States.
Carol in Duluth, Minnesota has a question for you. So let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I don't live in Duluth. I live outside Duluth where it's much colder. I don't have the nice warm lake
yeah.
effect. Two falls ago, I planted an apple tree, and it's a state fair apple tree, so it was grown for Minnesota climate. And this spring it got buds, but it never formed leaves. So I was wondering if it was dead. And then at the base of the tree, some shoots came up, and those did have leaves, those shoots coming up from the ground. So I was wondering, is the plant dead? Is my tree dead?
Well, your tree is dead down to the graft union. What the shoots that are coming out are coming from the rootstock, which might be a dwarf rootstock. And if you were to grow it, you'd probably end up with apples the size of dimes or something like that. They're not very big or anything. State Fair is developed by the University of Minnesota. I believe it's a Zone 3 plant. And it does very well. And I hear it's got excellent fruit on it, and I've even tried some. One thing that happened last spring, if you remember, we had some real warm temperatures that came in right around Easter, and then a cold snap. And some of those trees were sending up nutrients, and then with the cold, they weren't able to back down to tolerate the cold. And so the cambial zone killed, and I suspect that's what happened in yours. Sometimes you'll see fruit trees like that. They'll kind of leaf out, and about the first week of June, it's all over.
So is that pretty much what killed the tree, or did I kill it some other way?
No, I'm guessing
probably
it was the temperature fluctuations that we had, which were rather unusual.
Yeah, such an expensive tree.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks, Carol. LaVon in Madison, hi.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can we do for you?
Well, I have some tiger lilies, and they're invading places where I don't want, and I wonder how to get rid of them. I've tried everything that I can think of to get rid of them, and nothing seems to work.
Is this the tiger lily that has a single shoot with many flowers on the top?
Yes.
And they're kind of striped, spotted, the flowers?
Yeah.
Okay. What you can do is next spring, if you want to get rid of them, and there's probably some people that would want the bulbs, as soon as they start growing, when the shoots are about 4 to 6 inches, you can use a product like Roundup, and that'll kill them. You're going to probably need about 2-3 applications.
Oh, okay, great.
But it's going to kill everything that's there. If you have grass, weeds, which you don't worry about, but if there's any other flowers right in that area, if you touch it with that herbicide, it will kill it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Kevin in Richfield, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what can we do for you?
I just planted 16 pine trees, some white pines, some blue spruce, some green spruce, even a balsam. I have watered them in and staked them and tied them off for the winter. Is there anything else that I should do to ensure that the trees make it?
How big are they, by the way?
The trees, they are anywhere from 12 foot to 20 foot.
Big stuff.
Big stuff. Yep. That's why I asked.
Okay. I would keep them on a watering plan from now until it freezes up. And if you've got about 4 inches of mulch, even though the soil is froze around us, under that mulch, if you put water on it and the water doesn't run off and soaking in, you know, water those even during the winter months about every 2 weeks. You're going to need about, I think the formula is something like 12 gallons of water per inch of trunk diameter.
So oh, okay.
And you're talking about trees that are probably 4 or 5 inches in trunk diameter?
Some of them, yep. Some of them are that big.
So you're talking 60 gallons per week, or I'd even place them on about a 5-day watering schedule.
Okay.
And then when it freezes up, and then even in the winter, if we get a kind of a few warm days and you can get in there with a garden hose and it doesn't freeze up before you get it there, try watering them about every 2-3 weeks. Once you get through that first year, and then next spring, come back with your watering program, just like I suggested, about 12 gallons of water per inch of trunk diameter, and do that on every 5 to 1 week basis. You're almost that size of tree, almost going to have to continue watering. If it doesn't rain 1 inch per week, come in with that garden hose application through the entire season next year.
Okay, but mulch them now keep them mulched into the winter.
Yes.
Keep
the mulch on all year round.
Okay. A tree of that size or trees of that size, would proximity of a black walnut tree have any effect on a tree of that size, you think?
Yes. If you're within the drip line, you definitely have a challenge. It's the black walnuts leave a residue behind called juglan. And
right.
It's found in the roots. It's also found in the leaves. And I would have to look at my list. There are plants that survive under black walnuts and some that don't. And I think your white pine might be one of the plants that are challenged.
What if I were to take the chainsaw and cut the black walnuts down right now?
It doesn't make any difference.
7 years at least.
Yeah, the juglan's in the soil.
Okay. Yeah. For a couple of years yet, you think?
7 to 10, isn't it?
7 to 10. It's a long time.
Oh,
it takes a long time to break down.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Yep, long wait ahead. Brian and Rhinelander, hello.
Hello, sir. I have a food plot for deer. They're apple trees.
Okay.
There's 8 of them, and they're near, they're north of Hawkins, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Should I mulch those trees over the winter to help them survive?
Well, how long have they been in the ground?
One has been in 1 year, and the remainder, because I lost one, the remainder have been in 2.
Yeah.
And they were approximately 8 feet tall, yep. 6, 7, 8 feet tall.
Mulching is definitely going to help. It's going to keep the grass from growing underneath and competing with the apple tree.
Okay.
Your biggest challenge up there is to keep. Once the deer find them, they don't just harvest the apples in the fall. You know, why pass up some good succulent growth?
Is they're pets.
Okay, then you're in pretty good shape.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. And on to Lou in Elm Grove. Hi, Lou.
Hi there. 2 questions. One, is it too late to transplant bushes and ferns? And the second one, should I be watering still?
Yes, you should still be watering. Water until freeze up at least. Too late, and you're talking about taking a soil ball. You can move them. This isn't the best time of year. I would wait till spring and do it, but that doesn't mean it can't be done.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in. We finally have some open lines again at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We'll get you on real fast here. Let's go to Lois in Lancaster. Hi, Lois.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I have a question about the old-fashioned rose bush. that the prior caller, he talks about it, and he said to cut it down to the ground. Should I do that now? And then it every year it leaves out and blossoms. This year I had an especially lot of blossoms, and but midsummer then the leaves start to turn yellow, and by fall it's almost leafless. Yeah. So I'm wondering what I could do to
help it along. It sounds like you've probably have the roses there for a fairly long period of time. They're pretty well root bound in that area.
An old fashioned rose that I brought from the farm.
Yep. What I would do is give it a little shot of fertilizer, probably around the end of June.
All right.
And that'll kind of stimulate some new growth. Some of those, if you get them growing good again, they'll blossom a second time for you.
Yeah.
And that's usually in September.
Mm-hmm.
And that's growing in an ideal situation. It's probably make sure it's getting enough water. Give it that little boost of fertilizer. Thin out some of the old wood that's really branched and gnarly, and you should bring them through.
Okay, shall I cut it down to the ground now?
You can. You don't necessarily have to. And some of those old ones, they will grow flowers from, you know, the buds that are on the stem. Some of those the old farm ones are pretty hardy.
Yes.
The bush type. And so
yes,
you don't.
Yes.
And usually with those, we talk about rejuvenation, where you take out some of the older stems and leave some of the younger ones in place.
Okay, what, should I prune it down, though? It's quite tall.
If you feel like you want to prune it down, wait till the soil freezes up and then prune, or next spring go through and prune, and then it'll stimulate some new growth.
Okay.
But
all
you
right.
don't necessarily have to do that every year with that type of rose.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for calling, Lois. And David in Mountain, it's your turn. Hi, David.
Ed, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question on some grape plants. I'm going to be building a house where some existing, they're about 3-4-year-old plants that just actually fruited for the first time this year, and they're going to need transplanting. Should I transplant them now or in the spring?
I would wait until spring. They transplant a lot better. You're damaging less root, and it'll stimulate some new growth. So if you have the chance, do it next spring. As I sit here, I got to pick up 4 plants this afternoon that were yanked out of the ground at one of the research stations, and with a situation like that, I may lose a couple, 3 of them. But if I don't get them back in the ground someplace, they're going to be gone forever.
Yep.
Okay, would I be better off doing like a, you know, taking some of the root ball and dirt, or bare root them?
In the spring, as soon as the soil thaws, you could bare root them. They're pretty residual, and they'll survive a lot of stress.
Okay.
I always tell you, you know, take a root, ball and everything else. And one time we were moving some at the Spooner Research Station. We just took the skid loader and yanked them out of the ground, stuck them in, and everyone survived.
Everyone,
but we did it early in the spring, as soon as the soil thawed. We had to start new trunks in that, but they do move.
All right. Okay. Thanks, David.
Thank you very much.
Chet in Athens, your turn. Hi, Chet.
Hello. This is sort of a help your neighbor call. I was in the landscaping business for years. I'm retired now, but I'd like to alert people to the unscrupulous practice of planting Christmas trees that they buy from overgrown Christmas tree farms. These trees have not been root pruned. These trees have a nil survival rate practically. If they do live, they look hideous. They look great the first year, but people should be buying from certified landscapers and nurseries that prune their rootstock several times before, you know, they can be transplanted into somebody's yard. That's all I wanted to say is people should look and think before they invest those big dollars in those nice, beautiful
Christmas trees.
Yes, you can buy Christmas trees, you know. And that's a challenge you take. And it takes about 3-4 years for them to get past the transplant shock, and sometimes you're going to lose some of the trees, and that's part of the game that you play.
Yeah.
But his suggestion, when you go to a certified nursery and get that material, it's been cultured for moving. It's had roots cut and everything else on an annual basis or semi-annual basis or 2-3 times a year. And what happens is all the new roots are right at the base of the plant, your healthy roots, and so they're going to transplant better.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Chet. And Dave in Madison is next. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a turf question. I also have an ash tree question, but I'll start with a turf question if I can. my backyard. Been living in the house for about a year, and I noticed two or three patches of brown grass. I'm assuming that there might be some grub activity there, and I haven't dug it up to do a grub check or count at this point. I'm just wondering, you know, when's the best time to do that? Is it possible that it's something other than grubs? And this is coming from a guy who has, you know, kind of a brown thumb.
Okay.
Well, the brown spot, I wouldn't point at grubs right away. Usually those brown spots show up in August. And if you have a local skunk, he usually finds them because he's in there digging those out. Mm-hmm. If you got brown spots now, there's something else going on. It could be they left a piece of board or plywood close to the surface, and with the dryness, it might cause that. It could be the type of grass that you have there. Is it annual-type grass rather than the good old Kentucky bluegrass? It could be a host of other things. Or somebody just dumped something there. You don't know.
Stones.
Yes.
Yeah, the house is actually a fairly old house. I mean, I've only lived there for a year, but it was built in the 20s, so.
Yep. But, I mean, these are things that could have happened over, you know, people dump grease in a spot sometimes,
sure.
Or oil, and it could be, and that is residual for a long time. So you might want to dig out those brown areas, put in some new soil, and replant, and that would be your best success rate on that.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dave. You have another question?
Yeah, the ash tree.
The ash tree, right.
Yeah, I actually am pretty sure I've got a borer that has attacked the tree. I've got some shoots that are coming up from around the base. And during the summer, this past summer, I applied with a brush some permethrin to the trunk, you know, all the way down to the base, as close as I could get, up to about maybe 6 inches above where the first branches started coming out. And that was done on recommendation. I'm wondering, is that the right approach to something like this? Is there anything else I should be doing?
Well, is that a recommendation from like an arborist?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then they may were making a suggestion. You could have some borers in there, but your tree is on a decline for a couple of reasons. One, sometimes the ash yellows causes the trees to decline. They get thin on the top, and then when they get sickly, then the borers come in. You can the insecticide you put on is to control the borers, and hopefully you'll get them. But if your tree is declining, there's something going on there. It could either have a disease that you need to identify, and usually with the diseases, it's you might as well transplant something else. Now with emerald ash borer knocking at our back door, we know it's in Illinois. We know it's up in the UP right now. It's probably a matter of time before it shows up here. Any ash tree, I would suggest, it looks like it's sickly. We should have a double thought and possibly remove some of those and come back in with some other type of tree type.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for calling. And Chris in Superior. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Excellent. I've got actually three questions. One's on a clematis, and one's on oak, and one's on willow.
Okay.
On the clematis, you talked about earlier letting the letting it just die out on the rail, and maybe put some mulch around it. Now, when I went and put the mulch around it about 3 weeks ago, when we had our first frost, I noticed that it was had been cut off about an inch from the ground. You know, it's kind of like natural death, if you want to call it.
Okay.
After you know, the 1 inch and down to the ground looked like it was still living, but obviously up on the rail was dead. Is it going to survive? I just planted it in August of this year.
Well, the reason it got mowed off, possibly a rabbit came through or something like that, and that
was
it.
No sign of animals.
Yeah. It could be somebody tripped or kicked, or, you know, it could be a lot of different things. But mm-hmm. wherever it's, you know, if it's cut off at that, anything above that, it's not going to grow. You might as well get it off the rail. And usually in your area of the state where you have more severe winter, sometimes they will naturally just freeze down to almost the soil line, and then they'll send up new shoots in the spring.
Okay, so I didn't cover it up too late?
No, you're in shape. Good shape.
Okay, because it's a new plant, only about 16, 18 inches tall to start with.
Yeah.
What about your oak?
The oak on the east side of the house, the oak had great acorn crop this year, and on the west side, and I live out in the country, and on the west side I had barely any oak growth, and this is within 5 acres of the house.
Yep. the oaks, what are you, you know, we're not out squirrels like that, but they go into biennial bearing just like apple trees. One year have a heavy crop, next year a light crop.
Yep.
So that could be, you know, they're out of sync. A lot of oak trees synchronize because if we have a late frost in June when the plants are actually in flower, it knocks out the flower buds. And so that year they go through without any flowers, and so they really put a lot of energy into flowers for the following year, and then pretty soon we have a whole area that's in synchronized. So nothing to worry about. Something.
Okay. On the willow, I planted a 6-foot willow in early July and was diligent about doing the watering technique. And then the deer came by and ate off all of the new growth, about 16, 18 inches of the just, but they only ate the new growth.
Yeah.
And so then I put up a fence around it, and then it stopped right there and started, you know, flower, or not flowering, but, you know, the leaves started growing rapidly right at the where they were bit off.
Right.
Am I going to actually, you know, see a weeping willow in the future or a stunted weeping willow?
Well, right where they bit, those branches are going to have a kind of a whole whirl of new stems in that area. It all depends. I would suggest cleaning it, taking out some of those right back to the trunk, and let the new growth that's a little higher up where the deer didn't graze kind of become your new branch structure. It'll look more aesthetic. But willows are fairly residual, and deer do like that new succulent growth, like some of the hybrid popples that we have. They'll come in and just feed on that new growth. It's like eating candy because you get about 6-7 feet of new growth each year, and they just love it.
Yeah, I had a good 16, 18 inches on all the branches, and it just trimmed it right back, right to the old growth.
You took that, put that fence up one season too late.
Well, I just planted it in July.
Oh, okay.
Didn't anticipate any deer into this fall.
Well, you learned your lesson, Chris.
Yes, I did. Another expensive lesson.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye. Pat in West Bend. Hello.
Hi. First-time caller here. I've got some hibiscus that are supposed to be able to withstand the winter here in West Bend. I bought them through mail order. They took very well. We had a good season with them, but I'd like to know what I should do to help them survive the winter. I've been unable to find any information.
Yeah, hibiscus. There's several types out there. There's some that, of course, grow from the underground area each year. They'll send up new shoots, and that has some very nice, large, anywhere from pink to purple to white flowers. And there are some tree-type hibiscus. If this is the first year you planted it, I would suggest watering it on a regular basis, putting the mulch on it, and it might even benefit from wrapping the trunk with tree wrap for a couple, 3 years until it's established. After that, everything else, you're kind of just dependent on the whims of the weather. Because we're in a situation where that's kind of a borderline tree, sometimes they make it. Once they get established 3-4 years down the road, they do a lot better in terms of tolerating temperature fluctuations and severe cold.
Okay, so the tree wrap is the
I would suggest going that on a single on those single stemmed hibiscus type shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
When wouldn't you recommend a wrap like that?
Well, usually the wraps protect the first couple of years, and after that, the bark's supposed to be tough enough to handle everything. That's an extremely tender type plant to grow. I see a number of them around the Madison area. And some are very beautiful once they become established. But the first 2-3 years of establishment, the mulching, keeping the weeds away, and watering on a regular basis is essential to establish that good, healthy plant.
And then do you leave the wrap on all the time? Or
no, just during the winter. Put it on now, and next spring, probably in March, take it back off for April.
Okay. And Sarah, have you got a real quick question?
Well, I spray my apple tree, and
the apples never turn out. I bet you that's the question. You know, and I'm just looking at my clock and realizing we are out of time. I'm sorry. Sarah, send us an email. Send us an email on that question, and I'll forward it to Bob, and Bob will be happy to answer it. I'm sorry. We just misread the clock. Bob, thank you. Boy.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. We'll look forward to having Bob Tomish back again. And thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.